Okay, our friends. So as many of you know, our family used to live in Southern California. But we have since moved. And where did we move to?
Washington.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest. And we live...
Not D.C.
Not Washington, D.C.
Not D.C. Not D.C.
Of course not. We do live near a very big city. What big city do we live near?
Seattle.
And Seattle is known for having a big thing in it.
The Space Needle.
It's a big pointy building with a big sharp looking needle at the top, sort of. But I'll tell you what, it's actually not a needle, is it? You can't sew with it. But let's read about it. We felt like this is a beautiful story to share, and we have read other books that were written by Mr. Stephen Cosgrove and illustrated by Robin James. We think they're amazing. And so, friends, if you don't have any of their books, put this on your to-do list. They are nothing short of amazing. And so today's story is called Wheedle on the Needle. It was written by Stephen Cosgrove and illustrated by Robin James, and it is read today by Mommy. And what's your name, kid?
I'm Tiny the Acorn.
Tiny the Acorn. Yes, Tiny the Acorn. Here we go. Many, many years ago, before explorers sailed to the Northwest, there lived a large, happy creature called the Wheedle. He was pleasingly plump, covered in orange, fluffy fur, and had a big, round, red nose.
I believe this is a true story.
You think so? He spent his days sniffing flowers and enjoying the peace and quiet that nature offered. Forever and a day, everything was peaceful until... One afternoon, the Wheedle watched curiously as a large ship sailed into the bay. Laughing loudly, workers jumped from this ship and set about clearing the land and building this and that and other things. And as they worked, they whistled. And the more they worked, the more they whistled. All that whistling hurt the poor Wheedle's ears. The whistling continued night and day, and the Wheedle could get absolutely no sleep at all. With no sleep, he became grouchier and grouchier, which I think we can understand, right? We get pretty grouchy if we don't get a good night's sleep. If he was ever to get some sleep, the Wheedle knew that he must put a stop to all this whistling. He thought, if the workers don't have their tools, they won't be able to work. And if they can't work, then they won't whistle. So later that night, he sneaked into the workers' camp and took all of their tools. Is that the kind thing to do? Sadly for the Wheedle, the next morning, the men quickly got new tools from the ship and went back to work whistling even louder than before. If anything, the Wheedle was resourceful. He decided the next best thing to do was to scare the workers. For when workers are scared, they can't pucker. And when they can't pucker, they can't whistle. As we all know, a puckerless whistle is no whistle at all. One by one, he began creeping up behind them and growling at the top of his voice. Sure enough, the workers were so scared that they couldn't whistle a whit. All would have been the Wheedle's salvation, save for one brave lumberjack who, to prove he wasn't scared, simply whistled. The Wheedle put his hands over his ears and ran for the forest. Well, let me tell you, that did it. The Wheedle knew he could no longer live near the bay. So he packed his belongings and left. He wandered high into the mountains, searching for a place far enough away from the workers where he couldn't hear their whistling. He wandered and wandered until he came to the very top of Mount Rainier. He listened very carefully. What delight! He couldn't hear even a whisper of a whistle on the wind. So he quickly unpacked his sleeping sack, his toothbrush with the squiggly on the end, and his white woolly pajamas. This was the quiet place he had hoped for. This was a place where he could sleep for a long, long time. He quickly brushed his teeth, washed his furry hands, and slipped into his woolly pajamas. Then he slid his big body into the sleeping sack, flopped his hand on his pillow, and fell fast asleep. He was so happy in his deep sleep that his big red nose blinked on and off like a flashing beacon on a tall pole. He slept through the night, through the day, through the weeks, through the months, and on through several years. Oh, such sweet, sweet dreams. But after a long while, something woke the Wheedle from his deep sleep. Whistling. Loud whistling. Happy whistling. He looked about, and much to his surprise, he saw that the workers had continued to build over the years and now had almost built to the edge of his mountain. But what was more alarming was now everybody was whistling, children and workers alike. "Oh no!" cried. Do you think that might be a more reasonable approach to just walk up and say, "Excuse me, would you please stop?" I agree. Let's see what he does. "Oh no," cried the Wheedle. "What am I ever to do? Oh, with all this whistling, I'll never get back to sleep." He began pacing up and down the mountain, mumbling and grumbling all the while. Then his nose lit up and a smile crossed his lips. "I've got it," he chuckled. And with that, he removed everything from his large striped bag, and with it dragging behind, he climbed to the very top of Mount Rainier. He stood on his fuzzy tiptoes, reached up into the sky, and grabbed a cloud. Then he grabbed another and another. One by one, he stuffed the clouds into the bag until he had it full to overflowing. With the bag thrown over his shoulder, he set out for the source of his noisy whistling problem, the growing city of Seattle. The skyline of the city was filled with tall buildings, but the Wheedle only needed one to complete his plan. The one he chose was the Space Needle. Giddy to put his plan into action, he hurried to the base of the Space Needle, jumped into the elevator, and zipped to the very top. There he stood and looked about. All around were happy children and workers, all whistling and laughing and having a great time, and the Wheedle chuckled as he reached deep into the soggy bag. He grabbed a fluffy cloud by the tail and slung it around and around and flipped it into the air. The cloud lifted high into the sky and then hung there like a glop of whipped cream on a blue kitchen ceiling. The cloud gurgled and sloshed, and then one drop of rain fell, and then another, and another. And soon, it was pouring. Now, the kindly folks in Seattle like the rain, but it is nearly impossible and highly improbable that one can whistle with any intensity in a rainstorm. And with the rain falling all around, everyone ran inside, and soon it became very still, very quiet indeed. The Wheedle stretched out on the top of the Space Needle and, using the bag of clouds as a pillow, fell fast asleep. With each snarkled snore, his big red nose slowly blinked on and off. And as he slept, it rained. And it rained. And it rained. The people of Seattle had to stay inside, and they became very sad. It didn't take much to figure out that someone was throwing clouds into the sky from the top of the Space Needle. Finally, the mayor himself went to the Wheedle on the needle to plead with him to stop throwing rain clouds into the sky.
"Please," said the mayor, "would you stop throwing clouds into the sky? The kindly folk of Seattle love to whistle while they work, but with all the rain, there's little to whistle about, and without whistling, there is little work being done." The Wheedle said he was sorry, but still and all, he couldn't sleep when he heard whistling. There was nothing he could do. And now the mayor thought and thought and quickly devised a plan, a wonderful plan indeed. The mayor's plan was a simple plan, and sometimes simplicity is best. All through the night and into the next morning, sail makers stitched and sewed cotton and flannel and wool, and miles of thread were laced through the eyes of needles as the weathered hands of the sail makers sewed. They sewed pink flannel to yellow wool and blue cotton into red flannel, and by early morning, they had finished their task. Whoever said that mayors never think a thoughtful thought? This was a good plan. This plan was great. At precisely noon, and not a minute before, and not a minute after, the mayor again met with the Wheedle on the needle. In his hands, he held the largest pair of earmuffs you have ever seen. "These earmuffs are for you," said the mayor in his most political of voices. "With these on your ears, you won't hear a thing. You won't hear us whistle. You won't even hear the big whistles from the ships in the harbor or the trains going by."
The Wheedle pulled the earmuffs over his ears and was surrounded in the delight of silence. He didn't hear the kindly folk of Seattle cheering. He didn't hear the end of the mayor's speech. With the earmuffs in place, he simply rolled over and fell fast asleep. So content was he that his big red nose again began to blink. There's a Wheedle on the needle. I know just what you're thinking, but if you look up late at night, you'll see his red nose blinking. And in the picture, we can see the top of the Space Needle, and it does have a big red bleep at the very top of it. Good to know that the Wheedle is up there. Mm-hmm. And that, our dear friends, is the end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.